This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. Before the pandemic, you might have known Leslie Jordan without knowing you knew him, thanks to his various appearances on TV shows, including his Emmy-winning performance on Will & Grace as Beverly Jordan, Karen's rival.
Karen Walker, I thought I smelled gin and regret.
Beverly Leslie, you look more like a woman every time I see you.
Thank you.
Leslie was the kind of actor you might say, oh, that guy, I saw him in something. But that all changed in March 2020 when the friendly, funny videos he posted of himself on Instagram started to go mega viral. And when you hear our conversation, you may understand why he now has millions of followers. He's so warm, he's so charming and good-humored that you just want to be a part of his world. And Leslie's world keeps on expanding. He recently released his debut album called Company's Comin', which is a collection of his reinterpretations of hymns and includes a variety of guests like Brandi Carlile, Dolly Parton, and TJ Osborne. He'll explain how that album came out of his newfound internet fame and also from his own personal history as a gay man who grew up in the South. That's coming up first from that album. Here is Leslie Jordan and Brandi Carlile with Angel Band. Angel Band, Leslie Jordan joined by Brandi Carlile. It's from Leslie's new album, Company's Comin'. I'm Raina Duris, and Leslie Jordan is my guest today on World Cafe. Welcome to the World Cafe.
Thank you for having me.
It's so great to have you. This is your very first album, and Brandi is just one of a whole bunch of pretty impressive guest appearances on it. What was it like working with Brandi?
Well, we met in Nashville, and we had a dinner. I can't remember who actually introduced us, but we had a wonderful dinner at this old hotel, and I got to meet her wife, Catherine, and I couldn't quit staring at her. She's so beautiful. I mean, just handsome, and there's just something about her, and her wife, too, is beautiful. But somewhere in the middle of all that, we started singing Delta Dawn, what's that flowery? And we just decided right then, we said, we have to do an album. And so I'm not a singer. And so I didn't think too much about it. I've never, you know, when I got off the bus in Hollywood in 1982, that was not on the list. I think I'll do a gospel album. But I started looking up all these hymns, old hymns, and the producers, Travis Howard and Danny Myrick, came up with this list.
Well, before we get into that, it is important, I think, to rewind a little bit and talk about how you got to this point in the first place. You've made a lot of new friends this year over the pandemic, especially on Instagram. You have over 6 million followers, I believe now. And it was a post back in March 2020 at the beginning of COVID that really kicked things off. I'm going to describe the post and we're going to hear some of it. It's you lying on a bed in your mom's house in Tennessee, your face against the pillow. It sounds like this.
What are y'all doing? This is awful. It's still March. How many days in March? When is April gonna get here? What, my mother hollering up the steps asking me who I'm talking to. I'm talking to my friends, Mama. Quit bothering me. How much more of this can I take?
So that video has been viewed more than 4 million times. What was your reaction when you realized that video was blowing up?
Well, someone called and said, you've gone viral. And I said, no, honey, I don't have COVID. I thought they meant you know, I had the virus.
I said, they called you to tell you that.
you've gone viral. I said, no, I'm fine, honey. I'm in Tennessee with my mother. I don't have COVID. But they explained it to me. And, you know, I had only joined Instagram about 2 years earlier. And I had, right off the bat, I had about, I'd say 20,000 followers. I thought, wow.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good amount of people.
Just right off the bat. And then Megan Mullally from Will and Grace, a dear friend of mine, who has a trillion followers, reposted a video of mine, and I jumped to 80,000, and I stayed there for a really long time. And then who knows? I mean, it's such a mystery to me. But, you know, when you get to that many followers, I've had a little bit of fame. I mean, you know, Will and Grace, and I'm well known, but
yeah,
when you have, I drive down, I have a beautiful little convertible, a little BMW convertible. It's my pride. And I drive it around West Hollywood and people will yell my name. They know. And I've never also had name recognition. People would always say, that funny guy, you know, that little short guy that played on all those shows, but never. And now, and I'm so startled when it happens, you know, like, what? Leslie, they go, we love you. We love you. Cars yeah. passing by. So it's, you know, what a wonderful thing. 66 years of age. And
what? Why do you think that video? I mean, nobody really knows why things go viral, but why do you think that struck a chord with people?
I think it was because it was so, I yelled at my mother in the way that a teenage girl would, I think, because I said, I'm talking to my friend, you know, which is funny. And I even watch it now and go, what brought that? Mother, mama. I don't know. I think it, who knows why things go viral, but it did. And then I did two videos a day for 80 days. I didn't even know the word content. Like now I wake up in the morning, I go, I've got to post. I got to come up with some content. I never thought about it. I just posted for 80 days.
Well, I was going to ask you, like, as an actor, you've been acting a long time, but now you're making your own Instagram videos. You're making all this content. Do you have guiding principles when it comes to how you make those videos, what you post on social media?
I don't go anywhere near religion. I don't go anywhere near politics, and I don't sell anybody anything. I just wanted to give people a chance to check out for 3 minutes or whatever and just do something funny. And I really realized the power of humor because people will stop me and say, you got me through the pandemic. And I thought, wow. I mean, that's heavy. That's like really yeah. something.
I'm talking to Leslie Jordan on World Cafe right now. You have a new album called Company's Coming, and it really began on Instagram. You started to do this regular thing where you'd sing Sunday morning hymns. I'm going to play one from November 2020. You're performing the song I'll Fly Away.
So glad morning when this life is over.
So that was a bit of Leslie Jordan performing I'll Fly Away, one of your Sunday morning hymn sessions. How did those start? How did that come about?
My friend Travis Howard, who I've known for 30 years, grew up in the Baptist church as I did. He was Pentecostal, though. He was a little more. I mean, they were like no makeup, no dancing, no this. But we kind of bonded over that, but we loved the music. I'd sing something, he'd know every word to some song. And so he would go Sunday afternoons and sing hymns and talk and play his guitar. And I just started joining him. And the numbers went, woo, boom, boom, boom. And so we thought, you know, there's something here. So we enlisted Danny Myrick, who's our friend from Nashville, and Mike Lotus, my friend, who put it all together. And we came up with an album. And we made a list of each what the hymn was and who we'd think. Like we'd say, wouldn't Eddie Vedder be good on that or something? And then bam, a yes.
Right, because like I said earlier, this is a real star-studded affair. I mean, you've got like Eddie Vedder, like you said, Katie Pruitt's in there, Tanya Tucker's in there, and there's a few others that are pretty big. And I understand that you started reaching out to people by sliding into their DMs, direct messaging them on Instagram.
Just direct messaging them.
What did you say?
Just that that this was going to be an album where I revisit, you know, the church. And it was a church in which I didn't feel a part of because I was gay. And, you know, when I get very dramatic, I say, I walked away. Well, I didn't walk away. I just quit going for a while, you know, like 17. I was like, no more, you know, I don't need this. And so I have no, what was interesting was when we started singing those hymns with me now, I had no axe to grind.
Right.
That was what I thought I wanted to do. I want to do this album where I get peace from the music. And I remember how it felt as a kid. But, you know, I don't want to proselytize and I'm not going to preach to people. And I don't, but, you know, it just happened. And it was such a wonderful experience to realize that I have no problem with the church. You know, I had a spiritual advisor because I'm a very spiritual person. I heard one time religion is for people who are afraid of going to hell. Spirituality is for people who have already been there.
Right. That's a good saying.
I've been there. And so I'm very spiritual. I had a spiritual advisor. And he said, you know, when you're home and your mother wants you to go to church, go. Why not? He goes, and what you do is you leave in the pew in front of you. You'll hear this and you'll hear this and you'll think, wow, I could use that. Oh, no, no, that, and you leave it in the pew in front of you, whatever those ideas or things. So I left a lot in the pew in front of me, but I always walked away and, you know, I, it's just been a really interesting journey.
Mm-hmm. So what were the, you know, obviously people said yes, when you sent that message out, was there anybody you couldn't believe agreed?
Dolly.
Yeah.
I mean, I had asked Dolly.
You were a big fan of Dolly Parton.
Yes.
For a long time.
She's
right?
A fellow Tennessean. And in 1973, I drove to Sevierville, where she used to do a concert in the high school auditorium for her people. And she'd say, what's a country girl without her haystack? She had all her sayings and everything. And I drove all the way up there. And when I did get to meet her, I told her that. She goes, that was the year Jolene came out. I said, I know. She goes, you were there. I go, she goes, you weren't there. And I said, uh-huh. You said, what's a country girl without her haystack? She said, I haven't used it. So, you know, it was
that's
a
amazing.
Wonder. And she, as people say, well, what's she like? Well, you know what she's like. She said, she's Dolly Parton. And I've gotten where when I get up and I have to make a decision or something in the morning, I'll think, well, now what would Dolly do?
I literally have a book on my desk at the office that is called What Would Dolly Do? And it's a book of wisdom from Dolly Parton. I will send you a link.
My gosh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So
she's so smart.
Well, let's take a listen. It's Where the Soul Never Dies, featuring Dolly Parton, Leslie Jordan on Roll Cafe.
Come back to these hymns, don't we?
There's just something about it. It's good for the soul.
On World Cafe, that was Where the Soul Never Dies. My guest today is Leslie Jordan. He was singing there with Dolly Parton, and it's from Leslie's recent album, Company's Coming. And there are little interjections in there. You're talking to each other. It sounds so casual. It sounds like you're in the room together. What was the actual setup like?
The setup was that we went to Nashville and we had the musicians lay down the track. And it was very different from what I thought. I thought they would have sheet music. These kind of musicians, you just give them chords. They would lay a sheet of paper on the floor with the chords. And then the guitar, the banjo, the this, the fiddle. And all of a sudden, there was just this cacophony of sound that was just amazing. Then in Los Angeles, we went back to L.A. and we rented a sound studio, and I laid down mine. And I don't think of myself as a singer, so I had a really hard time. But anyway, I put mine down, and then we just sent them out to everybody. Brandy has a recording studio in her compound. You know, Dolly has a recording studio very near her house, her home, and they would come back. And when we got Dolly's back, she just talked and talked and talked as if I was right there. And so we added my replies.
So really?
It was like so crazy because she'd go, I just love this. This music is so, does my heart good. And I'd go, well, Dolly, me too. And we'd record it and they would go, okay, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have just this much and you blah, blah, blah. And it was, and now when you hear it, it's just precious because it sounds like the two of us just yammering. And we were nowhere near each other.
You know, you mentioned there, you hearing your own voice and laying down those tracks, it was like very hard at first, right? Because you're used to performing. You're primarily known as an actor, though. I can only imagine how nervous I would be sending my singing out to like some of the biggest music stars in the world. Did you have nerves? Were you nervous?
Well, I was told, you know, when I was a kid, just sing for the Lord, just sing out. So I thought, you know, and Travis would say to me, you're trying to sound like, you know, just do it, Leslie. You have a sound that's interesting and it's fun to listen to. And just, and he would make me just sing it. And then, you know, and I learned a lot, like, you know, how to breathe. Breath is everything with singers. I didn't know that. So it was a wonderful learning experience. But, and I, you know what? I think I was too stupid to be scared or nervous, not stupid, but just too unaware to think in those terms. And then when the album was out was when I thought, oh, what just happened? I mean, what just happened? How did you do that? How did you get through that? But in the midst of it, it was flying to Nashville and flying to LA, and it was,
I'm speaking with Leslie Jordan today on World Cafe. Your relationship with the church when you were growing up was complicated. You came out pretty young. You were a teenager in Chattanooga in Tennessee. What was the reaction to that from your family?
Well, I stayed so closeted, you know, when I did live there. I was out to my mother. I told my mother when I was 12.
Wow.
Or 13, and her reaction was so beautiful because when I look back, she didn't pull her Bible out. I thought she would. She just sat there and she said, her only reference point for gay people would probably be like Liberace, who never said he was gay, or,
right,
or Paul Lynn on the center square of the Hollywood Squares, very flamboyant, Truman Capote. So she said, I'm afraid you'll be subject to ridicule. And I couldn't bear that. I couldn't bear people laughing at you, you know. And I think my advice would be to live your life very quietly. Here I am, Mom.
Yeah. And then you went to Hollywood.
And it was hard.
Were there gay role models that you looked to for guidance at all? Your mom knew about Liberace, but who did you know about?
I knew no one.
No.
And many times I thought I was the only queer on the planet. That's what I think is so wonderful today, is that both gay men, gay women, they have at least somebody to look up to, you know? I wanted to reach a point where a parent would look at their kid and say, I think he's going to be gay. The way you would say, I think he's going to be left-handed.
Sure.
You know, not with pride or not with any shame, just it is. And you know what? We're getting there. Kids today could care less. You know, I hear it. Now, not maybe in the hinterlands, you know, way out, but I see kids today and, you know, there's gay, there's this. Oh, I'm bi. And I think, you've never even had sex. What do you know? What do you know you are? But then I realized that it is not about who we sleep with. you know, and I could go my whole life and not have relations with a guy and it wouldn't matter. It's what I am. We've made so much progress. So that's what I've been able to see. What a great, to be able to go from where I was, you know. And even when I moved to LA in 82, you would go out to the bars and there would be all the gay producers, directors and everything dancing. But during the day, it was very wink, wink, you know.
Right, right.
I saw you last night. And I was so, I mean, I was never in the closet, but I remember, you know, trying to butch it up a little bit, you know, for my parts on TV. And they would say, not working.
You wrote a memoir a while ago. It's called How Y'all Doing? Misadventures and Mischief from a Life Well Lived. You have this great story in it about Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds and your mom. And it kind of gets to the whole LA-Tennessee divide in your life. For people who haven't read the book, could you tell us what happened?
Well, real quickly, because I could get lost in it. My mother was upset with me because I did a Bob Mackie fashion show where I ended up, they asked me to put on a little Bob Mackie outfit and walk out for Bob, because Bob wasn't expecting it.
And for people who don't know, what would that outfit look like?
It was a French maid's costume with my hairy legs and my butt hanging out. It was just awful. I looked awful. But anyway, they took it, all of a sudden it hit, and it was in the National Enquirer, had this big picture in the National Enquirer. And my mother called me and said, you know, Leslie, you live in Hollywood where people can go around. I said, Mama, you act like I was going to get a carton of milk. I was in a, I wouldn't wear it out. But she was really upset with me. She said, the National Enquirer, I can't even go. They read that as much. All my girlfriends read it as much as the Bible. You know, I can't even go to Sunday school. She was really upset. So I went to one of my myriad rooms of recovery that night. And Carrie Fisher was sitting right next to me. And I'd met her before. But I said to her, she said, you seem down. I said, and I told her. So we were leaving the meeting and she handed me her cell phone. She said, somebody wants to talk to you. I go, who? Debbie Reynolds. It was her mother. She said, Leslie, I went through the exact same thing. I'm from Texas. And my mother called me after that woman stole my husband. I'm thinking, Elizabeth, oh, your husband. She said, and my mother said, Debbie, I hope you're not thinking about divorce, because we do not divorce in this family. You may get divorces out there. And so anyway, Debbie said, give me your mother's phone number. I want to call her.
Oh, my gosh.
I gave her my mother's phone number. And I waited all night, all day. The phone rang and mother said, what's going on, Leslie? I said, did Debbie Reynolds call you? She goes, yes, she's on my answer machine. But I thought it was a joke. And I said, no, call her. She goes, for what? Well, she called me later on. And Debbie, they talked forever. They talked for a full hour. Mother said, she's lovely. She's just lovely, Leslie. She's so down to earth. And Debbie told my mother, you cannot judge, you know, what parts he plays cannot be a reflection on the way in which you raised him. A lot of times in Hollywood, we have to do things that, you know, we are go against the grain of. And my mother's always thought, and she had a good argument, whatever you do is a reflection on our family. Okay. It's a reflection on the way I raised you. Blah, blah. But anyway, we came to a wonderful, where I call my mother all the time. I go, oh my God, I got to do this part. And she goes, oh, Leslie. And, you know, la, la, la. It's so different. And it was just a lovely, lovely gift.
That is.
Debbie Reynolds.
That's an amazing story. And just imagine, I love that she thought it was a prank call at first. I would think that too.
Oh, Debbie Reynolds. What would a big Hollywood star want to call me for?
I'm speaking with Leslie Jordan on World Cafe. Kind of going back to that idea of role models, we're going to get to one more song from your album, the song In the Sweet By and By, where you sing with TJ Osborne of the band Brothers Osborne. And I understand that you kind of served as an inspiration or a mentor in a way to him on his own journey. What happened?
Tiny. I don't want to build it up too much. He called me and we texted back and forth a little bit when he decided to do it. And, you know, I gave him some advice and we were good friends now. And that was so brave of him because I don't know if anyone, and we sang together at the Grand Ole Opry. And some of my gay friends said, you know, that was an amazing milestone that no one brought up, no one said, but to have two queers up there in the Grand Ole Opry singing away. And I thought, you know what? Wow, that was something. That's a milestone. I think that was the best night of my life.
Really?
I'm really serious. My mom was there. My sisters were there. I sang three hymns to a standing ovation. And, you know, afterwards, my mother actually was, she cried. I mean, it was just, it was overwhelming. She said, I don't know that I could be more proud of you and my twin sisters. It was just an amazing night.
Leslie, we're going to listen to In the Suite by and by, you and TJ Osborne. We're going to finish with that. Here it is.
In the suite by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Leslie Jordan from his new album, Company's Coming. He's joined there by TJ Osborne of Brothers Osborne. The song was called In the Suite By and By. Leslie Jordan has been my guest today, and it's been such a joy talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, and I love NPR.
Oh, we love you too.
Love NPR. You've always been kind to me and my people. So,
Well, come back anytime. We love having you.
Thank you, honey.
I'm Rena Durris, back in a moment with more World Cafe.